For the things of God cannot be seen. Love, joy, peace, righteousness, all these things, they can't be seen, but they're eternal. But the things that can be seen, all the pleasures of this world can be seen. All of them. And he said, they have these idols in their heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his place. You're going to stumble over your own idol. And cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of the things he put before me. I will talk to him about you could have been there and you was over there. You could have done this, but you did that. Now, this ain't no shouting message, but it's good anyway. That I may take the house of Israel in their heart, their own heart, because they are all entangled. Say entangled. One more time. Entangled. From me through their idols. They have gotten intertwined with the things of the world, and now that takes them away from me. It's like this. God doesn't want to go that way. He wants to go this way, but because you're over here and you're over here, you don't go anywhere. You don't go anywhere. Verse 12, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by transgressing grievously, how many of you know that we're in a day like that? Then I will stretch out my hand upon it and will break the staff of the bread thereof and will send famine upon it and will cut off man and beast from it. This famine he's speaking of is not really of bread and of water and of wine, it says, but of the hearing of the word of the Lord. I listen to, every once in a while, I try to listen to some sermons every once in a while, and it's like, Lord have mercy, you hadn't said nothing. You've been talking 30 minutes, and you hadn't said one blessed thing that would help anybody. Tell me about your old grandma and all this kind of stuff, and feeding the cattle when you was little and all. That's baloney. It's okay to throw in a curveball every once in a while, but you've got to have some content to your message, or people will starve. Though these three patriarchs, these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, the ones I just mentioned, were in that day, they should deliver their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. These three men were survivors. And what he's telling us, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I don't have much oil left in my vessel. I've heard old timers say, I'm too far on my journey now. Yeah, I don't know, I'm 57. I'm too far on my journey now. I only got so much time and oil left in this old vessel. I can't afford. Now, you might can afford and repent later, but I can't afford. I know too many people drop dead at between 50 and 60. I can't afford to play both sides and think I'm going to win. Can I go a little further? Not much. Time is too short and eternity is too long to play games and be entangled with the affairs of the world. When the angels came to recover Lot, did you know Lot was a survivor too? But there's only one reason he survived. One reason only. Somebody was praying for him. The angels went to recover Lot and his family, and he resisted them, even though they were trying to save him. And when you get in the position where it's time to save yourself, and we're vastly quickly approaching that place where I can't find lost people. Can y'all? Have y'all noticed that? Used to, you could find lost people. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save somebody that says, I'm lost. And there was a lot of people say, I'm lost. Today, I can't find lost people. So I better save myself. Don't get entangled with the world and lose your most valuable asset. You. Little do you know, many times you're more valuable than you think. You're valuable to your spouse. You're valuable to your children. You're valuable to your parents. You're valuable to other people who's looking at you and counting on you. You're valuable. You better take care of yourself. Lot was not only visited by an angel to pull him out, but he had vexed his righteous soul, the Bible says, with their day-to-day conversation. He made a bad choice. I said he made a bad choice when Uncle Abraham said, you go to the right, I go to the left, you go to the left, I go to the right, don't matter, you make the first choice. He made a bad choice because he lifted up his eyes and he saw the well-watered plains of Sodom and said, that's for me. And he moved his tents from the hillside of Sodom and Gomorrah to the inner city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and now he's the little gatekeeper. Got him a little position, letting people in and out of the gate, hearing all the gossip that goes in and out of the gate. But when the angel got ready to get him out, sit down, let's have a cup of coffee. What's the hurry? It's okay, it's been like this ever since I've been here. He said, you don't understand. And let me tell you what the words that was said by the angel. Get out, lest you be consumed with what? Didn't say the fire. The iniquity of the people. Get out, lest you be consumed with the iniquity of the people, because that's where the fire is going, wherever the iniquity of the people is at. And you have entangled yourself. And the Bible says, and he lingered. And he, well, I'm going to get it right one day. Well, you know, my kids are, you know, my job calls for me to. And he lingered. And so when he finally got ready to go, guess what? They were laying hands on his wife. They were laying hands on him. They were laying hands on his children, wanting to have affairs with them. And all that got out was him and his wife. And she looked back. And she was lost. You better save yourself. You better hear me. You better save yourself. Last page. And you stole my sermon again. This Elijah guy. I mean, you know, this angel that came to Lot may have been the same angel. It may have been the same angel that came to Brother Elijah. That Brother Elijah, he was on the mountaintop. And he was up and down. He was cutting heads off and wanted to die. He's praying, where is the Lord God of Abraham? And the next day he's saying, Lord, take my life. And what was he running from? Can I ask you, what was he running from? A threat. Not the real deal. A threat. And there are so many people live their lives in paranoia and depression over a threat of what happened. It's not even real. It's just a threat. And they freeze over a threat. And he finds himself under this juniper tree praying to die. Lord, what's the use anyway? They did this to all the problems. They're going to do that to me. What's the use anyway? And just yesterday, he was calling fire down out of heaven. And this angel comes and awakens him. And there he feeds him not once, Brother Valentine, but twice he feeds him. He wakes him up and he eats. Can I tell you that what in a symbolic way, the first time he ate was to restore all the strength he lost from running, from being scared. Because he fled to this juniper tree. He was exhausted and he was restoring what he had lost in his past. But the next time he woke him up was for his journey in the future. Because he went on the strength of that meat 40 days. And when he finds himself in this cave, he has the wrong kind of selfishness. He's just considering himself and nobody else. But the Lord looks at him and said, what doest thou here? What are you doing here? I have been what? Jealous. I've been jealous. The Lord restores him and tells him this. Now listen close. restores him and tells him to get up, arise, and go to the house where one called Elisha abides, and anoint him to take your place. And arise and go and anoint one called Jehu and one called King Hazael. What I'm trying to show you is if he would have got his own selfish way in the wrong way and God would have taken his life, he would have been no use to Elisha. But if he would have taken care of himself and he would have said, you know, the Lord, you are my strength. As David said, you are my strength. You are my going up and you are my going down. The Lord is the lifter up of my head. If he had begun to quote those kind of scriptures, then he would have encouraged himself as David did in the Lord. And guess what? You have to understand, other people were depending on him, including God. And you and I should take care of ourselves, because there's more people depending on you than just you. Amen. I'm fixing to close. He tells us in one place, I don't think I have that scripture here. I may have skipped a page. We won't worry about it. But he says, I wish that you would be in good health and that your soul would prosper as your health prospers. In other words, you know, you're healthy because you take care of yourself. That's why people are healthy. They take care of themselves. And when you don't take care of yourself, you're not healthy. And what happens when you're not healthy, you go down. And when you go down, it affects not only you, it affects other people too. And other people are depending on you. So it's good that you stay healthy, because it's godly. And you, when you're godly, it's righteous. And when you're righteous, then you know what? You benefit the kingdom of God. Now watch. I'm closing. I'm shutting up, because this isn't a sermon y'all want to get the CD on. Come help me close out here. 2 Timothy 2 and 3. Thou therefore endure hardness. 2 Timothy 2 and 3. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth. How many of you in a war? How many of you in a soldier? Do you know you're called to be a soldier and a warrior? But he said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You better get it. That ye may please him who hath chosen you, him, to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Let me tell you what I suggest that all of us do. Strive for one thing and master that. If you strive for too many things and master none, you get frustrated with it. But if you'll just strive, I challenge you, strive for one thing and get good at that one thing and master that one thing, then you can move on to the other thing. But too many people move on and they move on and move on and they never master anything. And so he says to us, if you're going to be a soldier in my army, you cannot be entangled with the enemy. I've said it before, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say it again. You can't sleep with the enemy and rebuke them too. 2 Peter 2:19. Are y'all coming or not? I know it's going to be hard to bail me out of this, but give me your best shot. 2 Peter 2:19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world. Have you ever thought about the pollutions of the world? It's not that chemical stuff that's coming out there. It's things that pollute your soul. Pollution is things that contaminate the good thing. And they pollute your soul. After you've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. And the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Hallelujah. As you stand tonight, save yourselves and sin not. Hallelujah. Stay strong yourself. You can't be weak and help other people that are weak. You've got to be strong yourself. You know, I've learned when my children had problems, I had to be strong. If it was my wife had problems, I had to be strong. And when I was weak, she was strong. I said one time, brother, when we were going through a bad, bad time, I said, if her and I ever have a bad day on the same day, it's going to be bad. But every time I'd say, well, I just don't know. She'd say, no. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And every time she'd get weak, I said, no. Come too far on our journey now to turn back. That's why God gave us spouses, to build each other up and not tear each other down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So save yourself. You're going to have to do it. Nobody can save you. You understand that? Nobody can save you. It's a selfish thing. I don't want to be lost. As they sing tonight, I wish that you would ask God to strengthen you, gird up the loins of your minds, pull in every thought into captivity, pull down the strongholds that keeps you and hinders you from putting up these idols before God. Anything you put before God becomes your idol. And it's in your heart. It's got to come out. Hallelujah. Sing it. I must be saved above all else. Never you to do.